All right, so we're going to be reading, Gail's going to be reading Esther, chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. And the title of this is, The Jews Had Light and Gladness and Joy and Honor, written by Otto Barnes.
Chapter 8. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther, the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, who, when he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write you also for the Jews, as it likes you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time, in the third month, that is, the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and the deputies, and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Azarias's name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback, and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together, and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoils of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, the copy of the writing of a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city wherewithsoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Chapter 7 of Esther ended with the death of Haman, which represents our old man, or our flesh. This death takes place within each one of us after we've gone through fiery trials, representing the seven plagues, which brings us to our wit's end. Fortunately, when we cry to the Lord in our distress, he hears us, delivers us, and brings us to our safe haven. Just as the king extended his scepter to Esther, we too are being favored and gradually being brought to our safe haven. Our safe haven is when we dwell in the sacred place of the Most High, or abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That is when we say that God is our refuge, our fortress, and the one in whom we trust. In simple terms, that is when we gradually mature in obedience. When our obedience becomes complete, we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience when the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Chapter 8 focuses on what happens to us when the old man, or the beast, within dies. That is, the death of Haman. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 4. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. 2 Corinthians 10:6, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Esther 8, verses 1 and 2. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman the Jew's enemies unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Immediately after the death of Haman, the king gave Esther the house of Haman, and she set Mordecai over it. Being given the estate of Haman means to have dominion over the flesh. Sin shall not have dominion over us. Romans 6, verses 6 through 9. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. It was after the death of Haman that Mordecai was able to appear before the king. This means that it is when the beast within us is put to death, through the agency of our fiery trials, that we can have Christ's presence as he comes to ascend the throne of our hearts. Remember that our bodies represent the temple, and this temple is filled with smoke, and we are not able to enter this temple, that is, we do not have Jesus living in our hearts, until we have gone through the seven plagues, which represent our complete judgment. The judgment we go through is what teaches us righteousness. Revelation 15:8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Isaiah 26:9, with my soul have I desired you in the night. Yes, with my spirit within me will I seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. The king taking off his ring and giving it to Mordecai means being given authority or power to act in the name of the king. In Genesis, Pharaoh took his ring and gave it to Joseph and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. The question is, what does it mean to be given power or authority? Jesus told the disciples after his resurrection that all power had been given to him. This is not for the disciples to just appreciate the exalted position of Christ, but for them to know that they are partakers of this power, just as we are partakers of this power. This power avails itself to us through the Word of God, as we are given eyes to see and ears to hear. Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what do you? Luke 4:32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. 2 Corinthians 6:7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. This power is to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, see Luke 10:19. Serpents and scorpions are tools God uses in our fiery trials to bring to death our old man, as shown in the following scriptures, Genesis 41:42, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Numbers 21:6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Revelation 9:3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Revelation 9:10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Thus, having power to tread on serpents and scorpions means that in all our trials, God has given us all it takes to overcome. In other words, we are destined to overcome and to be crowned with the crown of life, irrespective of the obstacles we'll face, if God has written our names as part of the elect before the foundations of the world. Revelation 2:10, fear not of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. We are also given power over all the powers of the enemy. The scriptures tell us that we have the enemy within and the enemy without. The enemy within is the flesh, which causes us to go against God. It is also called the old man or the beast. The enemy without is Satan, which empowers the beast within the flesh. So what this means is that we will overcome the flesh and all that Satan and his angels throw at us. The enemy will bruise our heel. That is, it will hurt our walk with Christ, but we will have the victory over him. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Esther 8:3. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his devices that he had devised against the Jews. The fact that the old man within is dying does not mean that we are out of the woods yet. It is those who endure to the end who will be saved. As we observed in Esther chapter 3, verse 13, letters have already gone out to every province that the Jews must be destroyed, killed, and caused to perish on the 13th day of the month of the 12th month, 13th day of the month of the 12th month called Adar. This means that the word of God has already gone out that our old man will be put to death because of our rebellion. Number 13 means rebellion. This was what happened in chapter 7 when Haman, representing our old man, was put to death. However, the effects of our old man still linger, and that is why Esther continued to plead with the king in verse 3 so that a new law is passed, which nullifies the effects of the old man. So the first law is about the destruction of our old man, but the second law is about restoration. In one of David's Psalms, he said that God should restore unto him the joy of his salvation and make him willing to obey. That is what we need, and that is what Esther is pleading. Psalms 51, verses 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Esther 8, verse 4. Then the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. The king holding out the scepter means we have found favor with our Lord and that our requests are being attended to. It is the same as saying, therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. How do we know that the scepter has been held out for us? I think it's a question that may be lingering in our minds. In Luke chapter 10, when the Lord Jesus sent out the 70 disciples to go to every town and city and preach the gospel, they came back rejoicing because of the miracles they performed and demons they cast out. However, Jesus told them that they should rather rejoice because their names are written in heaven. That is, they are part of the elect. How do they know that their names are written in heaven? Jesus told them that they are blessed. In this case, to be blessed means you have been elected, because their eyes can see. As our eyes are being opened to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, then Jesus is assuring us here that we are part of the elect, or the scepter is being held out for us if we continue to the end. I want to make mention of the fact that 70 were the ones sent in this episode. The number 70 is 7 times 10. So 70 means complete domination of the flesh. What this is telling us is that those sent were not converted, and therefore the beast was still on their throne. That is, they were dominated by the flesh in view of the signs and wonders that they performed. That is what is happening to our brothers in Babylon. They focus on signs and wonders and think they are a mark of God's approval. No wonder they will ask Jesus in the resurrection, "Didn't we cast out demons, perform miracles in your name?" Then Jesus will respond that he does not know them, for they are workers of iniquity. Romans 9:15 through 16, "For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy." Luke 10, verse 1, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come." And verse 17, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name." And verse 20, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In verse 23 through 24, "And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." Matthew 7, 22 and 23, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Esther 8, verse 5, "And said, If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all of the king's provinces." As indicated earlier, the destruction of the old man is to be followed by restoration. The restoration here is not that we were enjoying something and then we lost it and are being given it back. No, what this means is that by the dying of our old man, we are of age now to assume our inheritance, which is given to us in earnest form now in this life. Galatians 4, 1 and 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. In Ephesians 1, 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Esther 8, verses 6 and 7. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Esther asked how she can endure to see the evil that shall come on the Jews. Remember that the Jews represent the elect. Indeed, it is hard to endure these fiery trials marked out for us. When a brother or a sister is going through these trials, it is the body that is hurting. However, the good news is that as we come to our wits' end and cry to the Lord, he hears us and brings us to our safe haven. In addition, since we are the apple of God's eye, no weapon formed or fashioned against us shall prosper. This is what is meant in verse 7 here, when the king told Esther that he put to death Haman because he laid his hand upon the Jews. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. In Psalms 107, verses 25 to 31, For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 17:8, Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Isaiah 54:17, No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Esther 8, verses 8 through 10. Write you also for the Jews, as it likes you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time, in the third month, that is, the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and the deputies, and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writings thereof, and to every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus's name and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. The verses above are to show us that God's word has gone out and it will not return to him empty, but will accomplish what he desires and will achieve the purpose for which it was sent. What is that purpose? To let his elect know that no weapon formed or fashioned against them shall prosper. In other words, nobody, including the devil, can lay his or her hands on us. As I stated earlier, God's words teach us how our old man needs to be destroyed. He has given us many promises in his words to counteract the effects of our flesh and the work of the devil. So the letters being sent out are God's words who, through his divine power, has given us all we need through his great and precious promises, which are to help us escape the corruption in the world through lust. This corruption in the world through lust is the effects of the work of Haman, the beast within, or our flesh. Remember that Esther petitioned the king to reverse the work of Haman, and the answer to this petition is the letter being sent out, which is the word of God. Isaiah 55:11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The NIV version. 2 Peter 1:3-4. According to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Our study of the book of Isaiah has been a wonderful journey with so much insight. From that study, we can see that God first shows us our sins, Israel's sins, and then talks about the destruction of our old man as a result of our sins, Israel's destruction. The latter part of the book of Isaiah is devoted to our restoration, which deals with God's precious promises through which we become partakers of his divine nature, and as a result, escape from the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's take a look at some of these precious promises which reverse the letters devised by Haman. Isaiah 51:3-4. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Isaiah 65:21-24. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Esther 8:11. Wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoils of them for a prey. The king granted the Jews in every city to gather themselves together. That is stressing the importance of fellowshipping. What we need to understand is that when we gather, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son. 1 John 1:3. that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In this life, we cannot defend ourselves and seek revenge on the people who trouble us. That is in a different stage of the kingdom of God, which is now within. Esther 8, verse 12. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. In this verse, we are given the 13th day of the 12th month as the day that in every province people will rise against the Jews. This is telling us of the final rebellion, which is represented by the number 13, the day appointed to destroy the Jews. This will happen at the end of the millennial rule, when Satan and his cohorts are released for a short time. They are released to deceive the whole world against the elect. The people of the world will encompass the camp of the elect, seeking to destroy them. That is when we will stand for our lives, to destroy, to slay, and cause to perish all that seek to destroy us, including children and women, as this story shows. That is when death will be destroyed, and this will usher in the second resurrection and the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Esther 8, verse 13. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. This verse emphasizes our readiness for that day, the day of rebellion. How do we get ready? In 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are admonished by Paul that when we completely obey him, we will be able to punish anyone who refuses to obey, which is the CEV version. This means that to get ready is to be in complete obedience. How do we learn obedience? We learn obedience by the things we suffer. That is what happened to Jesus. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. We can only obey when the beast within has been removed from the throne of our hearts. The beast within must die. And this is accomplished through suffering, i.e. the judgment marked out for us. As we can see, it was after Haman, representing the beast within, was put to death that the Jews are given the mandate to be ready to avenge themselves on their enemies. 2 Corinthians 10:6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Esther 8, verse 14, so the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. This is what the word of the Lord, which has been sent to us Jews, his elect, in every part of the world, is teaching. That is, there is a day of rebellion coming, and it is those who reign with Christ, Jews, or those who are resurrected in the first resurrection, who will revenge all disobedience. This is the message being preached by the elect using every means, camels, mules, etc. The camels and mules here represent our earthly possessions as depicted in several places of scriptures. This means that God has made available to us all the necessary resources to help us propagate the gospel. Genesis 12:16, and he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. Genesis 24:10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahar. Genesis 24:35, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. 1 Kings 10:25, and they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices and horses and mules, a rate year by year. 1 Chronicles 12:40. Moreover, they that were near him, even unto Eschar and Nebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat, meal, cakes of figs, bunches of raisins, and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. Esther 8:15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. Mordecai, being given a crown of gold and dressed in a garment of fine linen, depicts our coronation during the redemption of the purchased possession. Mordecai's apparel portrays the following colors: blue, white, and purple. In the Old Testament, the door of the tent of the tabernacle had the colors blue, purple, and scarlet. These colors together signify part of our walk as we enter through the veil into the presence of God, where we are fed by his fiery words, resulting in us being clothed with white linen, signifying the righteousness of the saints. Refer to the studies on colors, which is on the iswasandwillbe.com website. The crown of gold represents our holiness to the Lord. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Exodus 39:30, and they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Revelation 19:8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Revelation 19:14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Esther 8:16-17, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. This is telling us that the word of God brings light, gladness, joy, and honor. In other words, God has opened the eyes of the Jews to see and their ears to hear. That is the light the Word of God brings. This illumination brings gladness and joy to our souls as we see the great things that God has done for us, which will ultimately result in us being honored to rule with Christ when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. The verse also talks about many people of the land becoming Jews. Again, this will not happen in this age. In this dispensation, Jesus has told us that many are called, but few are chosen. So we know that only a few will constitute the elect. However, during the lake of fire age, many will be converted as the fire as the fear of the elect will fall upon them. The many here refers to all human race of all time. Praise be to God. Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Luke 10, verses 23 and 24. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Psalms 126, verse 3, The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Revelation 11, verse 15, And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 through 25. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet.